The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
This is Wake Up with Randy Corcoran on News Talk 710 KNUS.
Good morning. Welcome. Welcome to our show. I'm Randy Corcoran, your pumped up purveyor of principled, passionate patriotism, your Republican National Committee elect Tea Party advocate, activist, Trump cultist. And I was going to go on with the list, but the phones are already lighting up. 303-696-1971. 303-696-1971. Grab a phone line while the getting's good, because we've got a packed show today. We're going to squeeze in as many calls as we can. And this is an open line segment at 303-696-1971. Hot topic of the day, of course, is systemic racism. You hear it everywhere, especially from Democrat presidential candidates like creepy, sleepy, allegedly rapey Joe Biden and everybody else. That is the mantra now. Spent a week, this last week, deifying George Floyd. George Floyd, a criminal, a man who held a gun to the stomach of a pregnant woman during a heist, who spent multiple stints in jail, who was passing a counterfeit bill or was accused of trying to pass counterfeit money at a store when he was arrested, and we're deifying him. And they bring in the race hustler, Al Not-So-Sharpton, to simply pound on the dais and trash the president of the United States, trash white people, make the case for systemic racism. For Al Not-So-Sharpton, I would say systemic tax evasion. And it goes on and on and on. By now, you've heard the numbers. The number of black people killed by cops versus the number of white people. And then, you know, they argue, yeah, but black people are only 13% of the population. So that's absolutely an unfair statistic. But then if you factor in the amount of violent crime that is committed by that 13% of our population, then all of a sudden the numbers more than balance out. When the fact of the matter is that the most dangerous thing to a black person right now is another black person, I give you Chicago, statistically, for violent crime, the argument that in 2020 we are living through, experiencing, putting up with, tolerating systemic racism in the United States of America is absurd. I won't even say the name of the cop who spent 8+ minutes with his knee on the throat of George Floyd. That is inexcusable. He should be pilloried in the media. He should be pilloried at peaceful protests anywhere, anytime that someone wants to have one. Just like any other killer, the STEM school shooters and others, I just won't say their name. It is disgusting what we all saw, and we can all agree, but there was no right, no need, no white guilt that requires us to bend over backwards to say George Floyd was some kind of hero because he gave up his life to a apparently sick and disgusting cop during the commission of a crime. These protests are an excuse. These protests are the desperate flailing of a radical left that sees a second term of Donald Trump as the end of this effort. for Communist Party USA and the extreme socialists and the Alexandria Ocasio no Cortexes of the world to implement their sick, prosperity-killing, freedom-destroying policies on each and every one of you, policies that none of them will have to live with, none of them will have to suffer the consequences of. And I just won't do it. Now, you know, I'm a white guy. I get it. So I have my own perspective. And that's one of the reasons we're going to talk to a bunch of black conservatives today on the show. We'll start with Casper Stockham, who's running for Congress in CD7. I met him through my Tea Party activism when I was a member of the Arapaho Tea Party, not the chair, years and years ago. And just a really good guy out there fighting the fight. And we'll talk to him. We'll talk to Derek Wilburn, who was the founder of the Rocky Mountain Black Tea Party, American Conservatives of Color. He now has a foundation or an organization that is putting students from traditionally black colleges, primarily black colleges, into positions of assistance to conservative congresspeople of any color, by the way, of any gender, or even neutral gender. And so that's how he has tried to change the debate. It is Democrat policies that have kept black people down. It is Democrat cities that are on fire and marked up and broken down with innocent business owners, including black women being seriously injured and sometimes killed during these riots. These are not protests over the death of the criminal George Floyd. Or let me put it this way, the peaceful protests over the horrific way that the criminal George Floyd died have been co-opted by the George Soroses of the world, the Antifas of the world, and so many more. And it is ridiculous for us to sit here and apologize and hem and haw and worry about the horrible history in the United States of America over race relations. It is 2020. The United States of America elected a black president for two terms by significant margins. There were white people that voted for him. Just put it to bed. When you hear systemic racism, say no. There are racists in the country. There are inequities in the country. And much of it depends on, did you grow up with a father in the home? Did you grow up in a high crime, poverty area? Did you grow up reliant on social programs and never learn the ethics of hard work and getting a good education? Those factors matter more in 21st century America than the color of your skin. And I just won't listen to it anymore. 303-696-1971. We're going to get to the phones in just a second. I want to tell you the rest of the lineup of the show. Today, Scott Pressler, the incredible, energetic activist who has been going around to major cities all over the country and cleaning up the messes left by these Democrat, radical, leftist, Soros, Antifa, Black Lives Matter rioters. He's been going around and cleaning up the messes, and he's in Denver. And I hope the weather holds, man. I hope he's in Denver to clean up the mess. And we're going to talk to him at 9:45. We're also going to squeeze in some conversations with some of the restaurant owners right now that I'm representing and that are having their restaurants opened or have been opened for a while. We'll just catch up on that, the status of the lawsuits that are moving forward. We finally got the governor served. So this week we can get moving forward on the CNC Cafe lawsuit. I'm very excited about that. We're going to check in with Ron McLaughlin, the founder of Pro-Police Rally, and see what's going on with the rally in Denver coming up. Seems like that may be at risk. We'll also be talking with I'm a Trumpster founder, Reggie Carr, another black conservative. And, you know, I've been working with Reggie since the day I met him. I love that man. I've never seen anybody with the energy and the creativity. I can see why he was in the music business, and his vision is just incredible. But we've been trying to get the tour bus to bring to Colorado, the I'm a Trumpster tour bus, and we got it. I talked to the bus guy, was it yesterday? Maybe the day before yesterday, and it will be on its way to Colorado. So we'll check in on systemic racism with him as well, the myth of systemic racism in 21st century America, and also catch up on I'm a Trumpster. And then I'm so very excited. John Bandemir, of course, is an icon here in Colorado. Bandemir Speedway, Mile High Nationals, all of these national and international events. I grew up there. You guys who regularly listen know I'm a car junkie. Was a mechanic for 20 years. Dropped out of high school at 15. Came back to Colorado to go to Denver Automotive and Diesel College. And worked on cars for a living for 20-plus years before becoming a lawyer almost 22 years ago now. Yes, I started very young. Before I had a license, I was fixing cars. And so Bandemir was just, you know, it was the place I went, man. If I had extra money, I'd be buying a set of headers or a four-barrel carburetor for my two-barrel car or whatever. And I loved to go to the Bandemir store on Federal. And then when I had a car that was worthy of being on the drag strip, I loved to take it out to Bandemir Speedway all the way back in the late 70s and early 80s. And I told John Bandemir when we were together earlier this week and last week when we really started talking about the limitations on his ability to operate Bandemir Speedway this year, that not only was it an honor to meet him, I was very excited, but when I was a kid, I wanted to be him. And I truly believe that. He's going to join us at in the 11 o'clock hour, and Bandemir has their big truck event coming up tomorrow. Big truck show, and I know gates open at 9 o'clock, practice runs down the strip start at 9 o'clock, car shows 9 to 3, and I got yesterday the, I guess, kind of expected email from the county attorney in Jefferson County that says, we believe Bandemir's Truck Fest on Sunday violates the state's Safer at Home and a Vast Outdoors Colorado, whatever they call it, the latest 45-page rendition of the governor's abuse of his emergency powers. And they said, we think that their event on Sunday violates the state orders. And I looked at the event, and I had no choice but to write back and say, you may be right, I guess. It depends on how many people show up. Nonetheless, it's game on Sunday. And John Bandemir will tell us why in the 11 o'clock hour. So whole lot of reasons for you to stick around. Let's get to the phones while the getting's good. Dean in Littleton is the first caller of the day. Good morning and welcome.
Yes, Randy, I want to thank you for all the fighting you have done for the restaurants. It's awesome. And I have one quick question for you. If a president can be impeached, can't a governor?
You know, I've never looked into the impeachment of a governor. I don't think there's an impeachment clause in the Colorado Constitution. The reason we can impeach a president is because the federal constitution has an impeachment clause. And it's funny because I was reading through the Colorado Constitution, not end to end, because it's long. It's ridiculous what we've done to our constitution here in Colorado. But in just looking through kind of the subcategories, I don't remember anything about impeachment. But it's a great question. I'll look it up. We can recall a governor, of course.
We need to get one.
That's right. Well, okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And you know what? I'll look that up on a break and see if I can give you an affirmative answer on that.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Thanks very much. Let's get to Joy in Commerce City. Good morning.
Good morning. Let me take you off speaker. I'm going to make a comment. I pulled over because I was driving. Then I will just listen. But on George's show, they were talking about, and this may be off your subject, they were talking about the plight of our police officers in this country. And I need to tell you that I worked for Denver Health for years and worked with both city and county officers, and they are amazing. But we've already started losing our officers in this country. It was announced yesterday that over 24 officers, either in Minnesota or New York State, walked off the job because one of their coworkers was suspended or punished for having apparently pushed an elderly person. It's already happening, and sad to say, we will truly have real anarchy if our police officers quit us.
You know, I see what's happening right now as the run-up to the November presidential election as the flailing and wailing and gasping of an extreme leftist agenda in control of the Democrat Party that knows if they lose in November, that's it. And I fear that we're going to go through a great deal of pain between now and then because of it. And I think it's going to boomerang back right into the slap them upside the head at election time, because the vast majority of Americans, the silent majority of Americans across the country and in those battleground states, even if there are things they don't like about Donald Trump, they sure don't like this. And so I think we just have to live with it a little bit, Joy. Stand up, protect ourselves. Go ahead.
Randy, I'm going to let you go, dear.
All right. Thank you so much, Joy. I appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Great text has come in. 710 KNUS app, text to the studio. Big screen. We get to see him in here. And this is great. Both died senseless deaths. George Floyd, convicted violent felon who stuck a gun to the stomach of a pregnant mom during a home invasion, served over 7 years in jail, abandoned his 5-year-old son, a drug abuser who had fentanyl and other drugs in his system at the time of his horrific death at the knee of a, well, I just don't know enough about the background of this cop yet. I won't name him anymore. And the question is, whose life will Joe Biden, and I'll add in the radicals in charge of the Democrat Party, honor? George Floyd or David Dorn, the retired police captain who served his community for almost 40 years, father of 5, grandfather of 10, youth mentor, who died, a black leader who died at the hands of these horrific rioters. How much have you heard about David Dorn, Captain Dorn, compared to the criminal, the felon, the man who stuck a gun to the stomach, the pregnant stomach of a mother during a home invasion, George Floyd? It's just almost too much to bear. I swear it is. And we will keep the conversation going. Let's squeeze in one more before we take our first break. David in Littleton, welcome to Wake Up with Randy Corcoran.
Hi, Randy.
Howdy.
Hey, I just wanted to say thank you for being our fighter. I'm specifically off onto another topic. Very upset about Jared Polis's suggestion that we need to wear masks until there's a vaccine for this virus. And I was wondering if there's any way you can help us fight this concept of entire public having masks all the way until there's a cure.
Absolutely. I expect a lawsuit. I don't know what's happening there. I expect a lawsuit over the mask suggestion, the mask order, and I'd be happy to be at the forefront of that along with these other lawsuits that we're doing here in Colorado. So anybody with a claim, you know, CorcoranLaw.com, CorcoranLaw.com. My name is all O's. Just send us your story. I'm responding to these tips and these potential plaintiffs just as fast as I can. I expect our next federal lawsuit to be out for public consumption next week. And I'm trying to find some lawyers to work with, and I've got a couple of great candidates as well, because we're just simply overwhelmed right now, David. But, stay tuned. I think masks will definitely be on the table very soon. And thank you very much for your call.
Well, that's very nice to hear. Thank you.
All right. You bet. Thank you. All right. When we come back, we're going to be speaking with Casper Stockham. I've known him, gosh, got to be 9-10 years now. He's running for Congress in CD7, but I primarily invited him on to get his take. He's an author. He's raising a special needs child. He's just the hardest working man in politics, and he happens to be black, and I want to ask him about systemic racism, what I call the myth of systemic, not that there isn't racism, not that there aren't bigots, hateful, nasty, awful people that ought to be condemned at every turn. There are systemic racism in 21st century. We'll be joined by Casper Stockham when we return here at 710 KNUS.
Now, back to Wake Up with Randy Corcoran on News Talk 710 KNUS.
At 9:26, we are back with full lines. Everybody sit tight. We're going to squeeze in as many calls as we can off and on throughout the day. It's turned into a bit of a packed show as we address the issue of systemic racism, the myth of systemic racism in 21st century America. And before we get to our next great guest, I just am so moved by the text I got from my colleague and friend Stephen Tubbs. And it's so funny because this morning when I got up and I was looking at the 76th anniversary of the D-Day invasion, I thought, man, we should get some special music or maybe a snippet of speech. And then just everything blew up this morning with all of the events that are happening this weekend. I'll tell you about an important protest for you to be at tomorrow at the state capitol, the Bandemere event we're going to be talking about with John Bandemere. And I've already gotten a warning from the county of attorney that it will be in violation of state orders. And then this the big issue that everybody is just churning as we go through week after week now, following the death of George Floyd, trying to create the myth of systemic racism. And I didn't get to it, but this text from Stephen, a beautiful picture, these guys riding in, most of them to certain death, heading to the shore. These black, some about black and white photos that just make it so much more real for me, maybe because we had black and white TV when I was a kid. That's what I was kind of used to seeing as reality. But the text from Stephen, the real social justice warriors, 76 years ago today, don't forget the D-Day anniversary. Thank you for that, my brother. I really do appreciate it. And now let's get joined by Casper Stockham. His website is casperforcolorado.com. Casperforcolorado.com. He's running for Congress in CD7. We'll certainly talk about that a little bit. He's a U.S. Air Force Gulf War veteran, a defender of the United States Constitution, and a 100% unhyphenated American. I'm proud to call him a friend. Casper, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Did I miss anything important there?
No, I think you covered it all. You know, so much going on right now. I just wanted to say I will be down at that rally or gathering tomorrow morning at the Capitol. So, that's very important as well.
Well, let's talk about that for just a minute then. I definitely want to spend some time with you on your view of the allegation of systemic racism in 21st century America. But you're going to be joined by some real heroes tomorrow morning. I'm going to try and get down there. I'm dealing with Bandemere tomorrow. I don't know if the police will be there trying to shut them down. But at 10 o'clock, I think I can at least be there for a little while. This is in opposition to Senate Bill 163, the effort by the Democrat-controlled legislature to force parents to vaccinate their children. And it's going to be on the east side of the Capitol on Grant Street, which is unusual. Often we're on the west side down there. And my friend Michelle Malkin will be there. Bobby Kennedy Jr. will be there as well, all standing together against 163. So, and the weather, it's a crappy day today. I'm sorry for Scott Pressler and his cleanup effort downtown. But tomorrow is supposed to be hot and sunny and beautiful. People should get down there early and be ready to stand up against this horrific attack on our freedom. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I'm not sure why the Democrats love, you know, they took an oath of office to defend our Constitution, and every chance they get, they wind up violating it. You know, these stay-at-home orders right now or safer at home and all this stuff, I am like, done with all these orders that tell me I can't go out, or if I go out, I have to have a mask on in the middle of the day, the sun's shining and everything else, and I have to wear a mask when I walk into an establishment. It's just beyond, it's just beyond compare. I'm almost out of words, and you know that's rare for me.
it is incredible, and masks have been challenged in other states. Now that we have a formal declaration from the governor about it, I'm hopeful that someone will come and talk to me about challenging that, or somebody. I'm trying to find more lawyers for the law firm, and I've got a couple of great candidates out there as well. But it's just too important. And here's the thing, Casper, that we're getting into summer, we're getting into the virus is dying out. They're saying, well, we're still seeing new cases. That's because we're testing people. We're not seeing, you know, the curve was flattened long ago, if that was ever even in our power to do. This is about freedom for the future. This is about the possibility that we do see a resurgence during flu season next year. And isn't it funny, Casper, that that all of these governors and Mayor Hancock, Polis included, just outraged when we have any kind of freedom rally down at the Capitol, that we rode motorcycles down there, we gathered together without masks and social distancing. I just don't hear very much about that from these Democrats with these riots and these mobs that are defacing our buildings and destroying property downtown almost every night.
Oh, exactly. And you know, they're allowed to do that, and there's no problem. In fact, they are encouraging them to do it more, not practicing social distancing. Some are wearing masks, some are not, but the masks are pretty much worthless because they're cloth masks, which actually do nothing to stop anything anyway. So, yeah, it's a huge hypocrisy that's going on with the mayor and the governor. Yeah, I can't honestly follow them anymore because they're not even telling us the truth about any of this stuff. You know, and then the mayor was out there yesterday arm in arm with folks, no mask on, but yet he's telling us we can't worship, you know, without a mask. And some of the draconian rules that they put on the houses of worship just so they can start congregating again are just beyond measure. So I'm pushing back. You know, we have Reopen Colorado and other organizations that are pushing back. This is just outrageous. You know, we should be able to live our lives. If they want to, here's the thing. They can tell us what they think, and they can say, you know, we strongly recommend you wear a mask. We strongly recommend you do this and that. If people were dying in the streets from this virus or any other virus, they would not have to tell us to stay home. We would be staying home automatically. You know, if planes start falling out of the sky, they don't have to tell us to not get on a plane because it might fall out of the sky. We are adults. We are citizens of this awesome country. And I just need for them to be honest with me and tell me what's going on, be honest with the numbers, and then I, as a free American citizen, will make the decision on whether I want to go outside or not.
Talking with my friend Casper Stockham, he's the congressional candidate in CD7 against Ed Perlmutter. And Casper, you don't have a primary. We'll certainly have time to talk about your campaign. And the website is casperforcolorado.com. But primarily, in light of the narrative that we're getting in all the lamestream media with the race huckster and tax cheat Al Not-So-Sharpton yeah. leading the way at the funeral for George Floyd, systemic racism. I hear apologists. I hear people just simply going back to the founding, you know, the only country that ever fought a civil war with itself to do away with slavery, who right. had a Civil Rights Act, who you know, has done all the Democrat plans to help equalize the playing field, have simply kept black communities down and in poverty with the single parenthood and all of those kinds of things. I just, correct. It makes me angry when I hear people trying to justify or apologize for, quote, systemic racism here in 2020. What's your view as a black man and a black conservative? I know you're the 100% unhyphenated American.
Well, you know, I've got a little bit of a different spin on this or take on this because I do believe there is systemic racism, but it's not where they keep pointing at. I have been called all types of names and attacked by white liberals. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, they're the ones that have the systemic racism going on. You know, these blue cities and blue states. Most of the problems that are happening with the black community are happening in blue states and blue cities. That means that that's where the problem is. That's where the systemic racism or issues are. They're trying to change laws to fix what they are doing. So, you know, at the end of the day, it's not going to work because progressive laws cannot fix progressive problems. And they have a progressive problem. It's not a conservative problem. You know, I live in the suburbs. I don't have any problem. I walk around, you know, I don't have people calling me the N-word and you know, and chasing me down and doing all crazy stuff. And then I carry the pocket constitution around with me. I know what my rights are. And if I get stopped by a law enforcement officer, I'm not going to give them a hard time because they have more guns than I have. Now, I have a gun, but they got more guns, right? So,
and the first thing you're going to do, and the first thing you're going to do is let them know you have that gun. So there's no concern, you know, As a kid, when I was a punk, you know, if I'd get pulled over for speeding or something, I knew if I kept my hands down in my lap, it made the cop nervous, and I would do it. I guess I shouldn't be embarrassed to say it since I already know I was a punk. But right. now, if I get pulled over for something, man, my hands are up where they can see them. If it's dark, the window's down, my hands are up because I know those guys are walking into a gunshot in the face potential every time they walk up to a car. And so if you're concealed carrying, then the first thing you should be doing is say, hey, I have a lawful firearm. It's on my right hip. And they'll relieve you of that gun and then go ahead and conduct their business. And you're right. Fight it out in court.
Yeah.
That's what the courts are for. And I hope this cop that killed the felon George Floyd is severely prosecuted and punished. Second degree murder, man. And it happened fast.
Yeah.
No peace, no justice. Are you kidding me? How fast of charges and incarceration with a super high bond do you want? That's another piece of evidence that these riots are not protests about the horrific day that George Floyd.
Not about George Floyd
died,
at all.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. And that cop had multiple write-ups against him. That's where the problem is, because nobody did anything. You know, we typically find out after all the dust settles that people knew about that individual, or they knew about the cop, or they knew about the situation, and there were write-ups, there were complaints, and those complaints just kind of didn't go anywhere. And that is the problem. So that's what we need to be addressing, but that's not what they addressed.
And can you – I mean, the family of George Floyd and their GoFundMe has raised, what, $13 million, I think, already? And that number will probably pale in comparison to the civil suit that is going to be filed, especially if they can prove that that the Minneapolis police force has covered up for abusive cops. It's inexcusable, 100% inexcusable. But I'm so glad that you made it quite clear that the two issues and what's happening and the destruction of buildings and property and death of black people like the retired police
David Dorn.
Yeah. Yes. Are not related to the way that George Floyd died. They're, again, never let an opportunity go to waste. We've got less than a minute, Casper, because we've got limited time with Scott Pressler on the other side. But any last words or thoughts you'd like to leave with us this morning, you know we'll have you back.
Yeah, I think the answer for our country and the answer for conservatives and Republicans, and this is a little self-serving, but I think the answer are black conservatives, because if the party and if the conservatives support black conservatives, we can do a lot of the fighting. We can go into the areas that they are, you know, the conservatives typically are not willing to go into. So support us. We'll go in and fight the fight. And that at the end of the day will start to change hearts and minds. What Candace is talking about is true. What you're talking about is true. Unfortunately, it's not going to change any hearts and minds. George, you know, he was a bad guy and he was a criminal, but he should never have died the way he died.
Of course not.
Under that guy's knee. Everybody agreed with that.
Of course.
But at the end of the day, unfortunately, the community keeps supporting and championing people like George and not people like David Dorn. And that's what we have to fight, but we can't fight it from the outside. We have to fight it from the inside, and that's
what I'm saying. Casper, we'll have you back. The website is casperforcolorado.com. I look forward to seeing you downtown on the east side of the Capitol before 10 o'clock as we stand up against this horrific effort to force parents to vaccinate their children against their will. God loves you, Casper. I appreciate you, man. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, sounds good, man.
All right, I know we got callers waiting, but we've got to get to the break, so we've got some time for Scott Pressler on the other side. Everybody sit tight. I'm Randy Corporan. It's Wake Up here on 710 KNUS.
We now return to Wake Up with Randy Corporan on News Talk 710 KNUS.
We're back at 9:45 on a temporarily, we hope, rainy Saturday morning. I'm Randy Corporan. So good to have you along here at 710 KNUS. We've got one line open at 303-696-1971. We can't stay very long with our next guest, so grab that open line while the getting's good. Primarily today, we've been talking about this myth in the 21st century of systemic racism with black conservatives. We'll be speaking to one of the best from Colorado, former vice chair of the Colorado GOP, founder of the Rocky Mountain Black Tea Party, American conservatives of color, now placing students from historically black colleges in with conservative Congress people to learn the ropes in politics. Just fascinating. Derek Wilburn. He'll join us at the top of the hour as we continue that conversation. But right now, somebody who doesn't just talk the talk, but man, this guy walks the walk. His name is Scott Pressler. He worked tirelessly to elect Hillary Clinton with thousands of volunteers, over 2,700 handwritten thank you letters, doors knocked in 2019, 1,000 plus, been to 11 states just in 2019. I'll bet you've doubled or tripled that, and he joins us in Denver, Colorado right now. Scott Pressler, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for the nice introduction, but I do have to make one correction because I didn't help to elect Hillary Clinton.
I'm sorry, I had to defeat her.
Hillary Clinton.
Yeah. God.
So thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, and you're focusing that same energy now on reelecting the president of the United States, and how many tons of trash do you think you and the volunteers that come together with you in these different communities, how many tons of trash have you removed?
So far that we counted, over 105 tons of trash, but really it's much more than that.
Yeah.
105 at least.
Well, just, 105 tons or so, I guess we can say. Huh? So you are down at Scruffy Murphy's Irish Pub, 2030 Larimer Street, a whole lot of homeless encampments down there, a real mess. This is scheduled to start at 10 and run until noon. What's the weather doing to you?
Oh, you think a little bit of rain is going to stop us out here? No, we're setting up right now. We're at Scruffy Murphy's. Please come join us. We're not only donating non-perishable food items to the community, but as soon as we're done, we're going to go out into downtown Denver and help scrub up some of the graffiti that has been vandalized in the city. So we're going to try to make Denver a cleaner and greener place today.
Scott, you're a gay conservative activist, and the LGBTQ
Correct.
Community tries to capture Republicans and conservatives as haters of gay people. What has your experience been? We talked at CPAC. In fact, we were going to have you on long before today, and so I'm sorry to grab you last minute. I did not know this had come upon us already, but I wanted to have you on to drive as many people down there as we could. Do you find any resistance to who you are as a person in the Republican Party or the conservative movement?
Well, I mean, you're talking very respectfully to a gay Republican that has over 630,000 followers on Twitter. I am thankful to the Christian conservative Trump community because what they've done is they gave me a voice. They empowered me. They elevated me. They gave me a national platform simply by following me and supporting my work. And, I get messages from people every single day. That really, the Trump community is the most generous community there is. I have people that say, Scott, come over, I'll bake you dinner, or you can sleep at my home, or I just have some really fun, strange requests, but it comes out of love, and that's what I really like about this new Republican Party, is it's inclusive and accepting and a movement based on love.
There is no question about it. On April 15th, you posted or you tweeted that 5 days ago I tweeted I was angry. I channeled my anger into action and created plans to flip the House from blue to red. President Trump even retweeted me 4 times. The fact of the matter is that no one is coming to save us, and we need to do it ourselves. Stop talking, start doing. How has that energy, that anger, been affected by the events of the last couple of weeks after the horrific way that the felon George Floyd was killed?
Well, people were already angry, not just because of the midterm elections and how, the squad has just been so far left, but people were also angry because of COVID and the responses of governors across the country, mostly Democrat governors, who are keeping our businesses closed, who are not letting small businesses thrive and survive, and many of their doors are permanently closed. And then couple that additionally with the violence of the riots, and oh my gosh, let me tell you, I haven't seen an anger like this from our side. But what I'm trying to do is just say, hey guys, I understand you're angry. I feel it too. I'm frustrated, but we need to channel our anger into action. And so one thing that I'm doing in particular is I've started talking about voter registration harvesting. Yes, they use the magic word that Republicans are actually going to start harvesting voter registration ballots, and we're going to play the game like the Democrats do. So I'm doing this for all 50 states, you know, with the exception of a couple that do not allow it. But I'm happy to sit down with anybody. I'll even talk to you over the phone. I don't care if you're in Colorado or Maine or California or Wisconsin or Texas. I'm so passionate about reelecting our president that I'm going to spend the next 6 months of my life doing everything in my power to make sure it happens.
Yeah, that's incredible. What do you think about the RNC? I'm the newly elected Republican National Committee man from Colorado taking office after the convention. What do you think about the RNC and Trump campaign's Protect the Vote initiative?
Finally.
Yeah.
About time.
Exactly.
Glad to see it.
Yeah, it's really good. Well, listen, I know you've got your hands full down there. Your event is kicking off at 10 o'clock. You asked to keep it short. Let's have you back on sometime when we can talk more about the voter harvesting and some of those things, how we can implement some of those great ideas here in the state of Colorado, because we are a blue state. I'm spending my time suing the governor and getting businesses open. We're going to be taking on the masks issue and all of that. But with the virtue of the radio show and my new position, chair of the largest Tea Party in Colorado as well, I think we can give you some help on this voter harvesting that the Democrats are so fond of. So we will definitely have you back.
Wonderful. Well, thank you again for taking the time to have me on. And I look forward to having another discussion with you.
Sounds great, Scott. Everybody, Scruffy Murphy's Irish Pub is the – do you have a good turnout already? Is things picking up?
They're showing up. It's starting to get noisy in here.
Sounds good, buddy. Well, get to work, and we'll talk to you again. I thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. Scruffy Murphy's is at 2030 Larimer Street. My dad and I had a little – I think I was 7 years old, and I think I came up with it. He used to say he came up with it. He's gone now, so I guess I win by default. But rain or shine, we'll be fine. And that came out of the fact that when I was a kid and I would whine about getting wet, he'd just look at me. And he was a very gentle, loving father. But he would just look at me with that look on his face and say, "You ain't sugar. You won't melt." And you know what? He's right. I ride Harleys in blinding rain, and I ain't melted yet. So please get down there and help Scott Pressler today. That's kicking off in just a few minutes, but they're going to be down there for several hours. They're also going to go clean up graffiti. This is how we show our presence here in the state of Colorado. This is how we remind the left that we're not as organized, perhaps, as they are. We certainly don't have the billionaires that they have to fund bringing in these rioters from out of state. But we're right. We're right on principle. We're right on our commitments. We have the encouragement, the love, and the faith of divine providence, and we're not giving up the state of Colorado. We're not giving up my beloved native city of Denver. Man, oh man, these next couple of days are going to show that. And don't forget tomorrow at 10 o'clock, and the weather will be much better. You can't make that excuse. The weather will be much better on the east side of the Capitol. So important. My friend Michelle Malkin will be down there, and Bobby Kennedy Jr. will be down there, and just all kinds of Republican leaders, conservatives. I'm going to try and swing by before 10 o'clock and stick around for a little bit. I've got to deal with the Bandamere issue tomorrow since they're having a full-blown event. But anyway, so very important. Get down and help Scott today. Be ready to help and show up against this horrific Senate Bill 163. Forced vaccinations of your children. This is a very important weekend here in the state of Colorado. And with a couple of minutes to go, let's get at least one call in with Hugh in Denver. Good morning.
Good morning. And the bouquet first. Loved your opening monologue.
Thank you, Hugh.
And my perspective, and what's interesting, of course, I'm a big Casper fan, but I have always believed that it would take time and time and time, and eventually we'd have racial harmony, and we wouldn't have. The problem is, of course, we have these people like Sharpton and the race hustlers peddling this systemic. Now I'll get to the point. My addition for the day, when people talk about systemic, I say, oh, like the NBA or the NFL? Is that the kind of systemic racism you're talking about? And, of course, you can watch the synapses in their brain explode. And failing all else, I say, can you be specific? And, of course, all liberals, it explodes their brain. They can't because they're used to simply shouting shibboleths and whatever. I happen to think, and this is close to being super personal, I follow the opera and classical music. But what's interesting is that the Metropolitan, most of the roster at the Metropolitan Opera are Eastern European singers. Opera's a fading art. We all know that. But of the Americans, the overwhelming percentage are blacks. And you think, you're going to talk to me about systemic? This is one of the most exalted entities in America, cultural entities. And look who has the opportunity, because they've got the talent.
Yeah, exactly. The best in America now, today, the best people, the best presidential candidate, the best athlete.
Sure.
Rise, if they put in the work, they rise. Yeah.
Clarence Thomas.
Exactly.
My vote, he's the smartest judge on the court.
He's great. And Hugh, I'm up against it. I'm so sorry, but thanks for waiting. Go ahead.
The message.
Okay, very good. Thank you. And everybody else, sit tight. Hugh's line is the only open line we have, 303-696-1971. We're going to spend a few minutes with Derek Wilburn, another black conservative, to talk about this issue of systemic racism and more. Plus, we'll check in with some of my restaurant owners who are now open or opening, including CNC Cafe in Castle Rock. Man, oh, man, we've got a busy show. So I hope you'll stay with us here at 710 KNUS. We'll be right back.